One Neri to come up. She's a friend. She's a sister in the spirit. She has an amazing gift of hearing from God and speaking life into people. And so, God, how about we give her a welcome, Caroline?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Good morning. Good Thanksgiving morning to you. Hey, I was wondering, is there anyone here that you're here for the first time today? Is there anyone? Welcome. Welcome. Are there any visitors here today, too, that this is not where you usually go to church, but you're here today? Is that me doing that? He'll fix it. Okay. Well, welcome. It's nice to have you here. So nice to have you here. And everyone else. And I'm so happy that I get to be here, too. So, I'm excited to be here. I'm always excited when I get to come here and come places. I'll just move that up a little. There we go. Because I have such fancy notes. I'm very thankful to be here. I'm very thankful to be here. And it's... One thing that I know for sure is that as much as we would like to hear from God, even more would He like to speak to us. As much as we would like to see things of God, even more He would like to show us things. So you know what? We can't fail. We can't fail when we search for God. His word says, knock. And the door will be open. Search me with all your heart. And I know that there are people here, that everyone here, you're doing that. I don't believe for one second that there's one person in this room today that you want to be crabby, or you want to be mean, or you want to fail, or you want to walk in disappointment, or you want to be grumpy, or... There's not one person here that wants that. That's not your heart's desire, is it? No, it's not one person's heart's desire for that. So sometimes we wonder, well, then why? Why do I get trapped in some of these unbelieving habits? Why? And for those of you that are new here or visiting, or maybe I haven't had a chance to be with you before, I'd just like to let you know, and this is not a curse, this is truth. I am not a skilled teacher. I am not a skilled preacher. You have one of those here in the house. I happen to see things. That's just what works for me, is that I see things. And so I come here today to share a few things with you because I have asked the Lord if He would show me today a picture for you, of which He has. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited to be able to share that with you. And I just want to tell you that God knows your heart. He knows your heart. So we don't have to strive. We don't have to work. We don't have to. He already knows your heart. And He loves you. He loves who you are. He loves your heart. He loves your heart so much that His Son went to the cross for your heart. He loves you so much that you cannot escape His love. No matter where you go, no matter how hard you try, you cannot escape His love. And that is a promise. And that's pretty exciting. I think that's so exciting. And you know, we live in a world where everything has a price tag and a value. Right? You're valued by how well you can do your job. You're valued by your education. You're valued, even little people. Now, I believe in encouragement. Don't get me wrong. I'm an encourager. But even little people can be valued by things they can perform. We want to be careful that when little ones are growing up and they can do something great, that we encourage them, but don't let them think that that's their value. We live in a place where what you wear is what you valued, where you live is what you value, that there's a price tag on everyone. But you know what? That is not how Trinity sees us. God, our Father, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, does not see us with the worldly price tag. does not see us with the value that is stamped on this world, but sees you with the value of creation. You were created. You weren't a mistake. You were no mistake. And so we can't fail. He knows your heart. He knows my heart. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for that. I want to tell you a story that I haven't had a chance yet to share publicly. But in the spring, I was speaking at a place in a small town, kind of similar to Maple Creek. And one morning, it was, you know, spring, it just entices you. Still chilly, still a little bit dark, but there's that smell in the air, and it kind of gets you going. So I thought, I'm going to go for a run this morning. I'm going to get up and go for a jog. And get the blood flowing. It was Sunday morning, about 6 o'clock, so it was still a little bit dark. And I thought, I just left the hotel room and had my toque on because it's still chilly. And off I went, did my little route that I wanted to do. And I was just back at the hotel, just about at the hotel. And it was kind of similar here. You know how I was just given the street names today, how there's Jasper and Pacific, did I get that right? And it's sort of a T intersection, and it's a main road, but no traffic. 6 a.m. Sunday morning, no traffic. And I finished everything I wanted to do. I was just about to go back into the hotel room, and I saw this big puddle in the middle of the road. And I sort of stopped and looked at it, then turned around to walk, and I just got this feeling, I must go jump in the puddle. It's spring. And I'm already kind of wet because, you know, it was sort of that slushy spring stuff. So I walk over to the puddle and kind of do this, just making sure that nobody's up. And I'm going to jump in the puddle. And I did jump in the puddle. Yes, I did. And then I saw in the puddle, it looked so cool because the sun was just sort of coming up. The water on the puddle was catching the rays of the sun, and it looked like just like living light. So I kind of was crouched down looking at this, you know, thinking this is really beautiful. And then you know that feeling when someone's watching you? So I sort of look up. There was a police cruiser and policeman. His window rolled down. And I don't know how I didn't even hear him come, because I wasn't like jumping madly, just kind of. Well, sort of. Madly, a little bit. But anyway, so he says, "Are you okay, ma'am?" And I was so shocked. I just went, rarely am I short on words. I was short on words. I just went, "Uh-huh." I got caught, you know, it's like a kid in a candy store. I got caught. So, and he says, "Have you been drinking, ma'am?" And I went, like, I could have defended myself, but I was so shocked. It's and then I kind of got it in me to stand up, and I sort of stood up and was kind of walking over there a little bit, and he just sort of like, my husband was a policeman. He's retired now, and I don't know, he used to walk over to policemen. I did, but no, you don't do that. And it's like, oh, geez, I have failed when it comes to the 6 a.m. etiquette in this town. So anyway, the conversation continued just a little bit. He says, "Where are you staying, ma'am?" And I said, "Over there, because the hotel's right in the corner." He says, "The hotel?" I said, "Yes." "What are you doing in our town?" And I explained that I was here for some church meetings. And then he said to me, "Oh, what church?" I forgot the name of the church. It was the white church on the corner, but I couldn't bring it forward, the name of the church. Now, I did remember the pastor's name, because I'd never been to this town before, and I told him the pastor's name, and then I said to him, you know, now I'm starting to recover, my heart rate's going back down, and I said to him, "Have you ever just been so busy in life that you decided it was time to jump in the puddles? That's all I said to him, and he just looked at me, and he basically didn't say goodbye, didn't say anything. He just sort of like the nod, and off he drove. So it's like, okay, I recovered from that. I sort of slink my way into the hotel, up to my room to get ready, to shower and get ready. And I was going to be picked up at a certain time to be brought over to the church. And then I got a text saying that there would be a small delay because of car issues. And so by the time I did get to church, I didn't have time to explain this to the pastor, which I really didn't want to do anyway. I was just hoping that it would be, nobody would ever hear of this story again. And so I come to church, and it's sort of getting started. Like, we're just right on time now at this point. And I up at the front, putting my things down, I stand up and turn around. And who walks through the door? The policeman. However, he was not in uniform now. He, you know, he had changed. And so it was like, okay, should I go shake his hand? And I mean, I hoped I looked a little different than I did in the morning. Should I shake his hand and thank him and explain a little bit more? Or, you know, like, it's kind of... So I did what any responsible speaker would do. I turned around and pretend I didn't see him. I'm not proud of that. I'm not bragging, just telling you the truth. And then progressed as the morning went, and that's that. So fast forward a little bit. Anyway, 20 years previously to that day, that policeman was speaking to his mom on the phone. It was her 20th year anniversary of her death, and he had been very short with her on the phone and didn't have time to spend with her. Generally, he did, but he didn't that morning. And that day, she had been killed by a drunk driver. And he made a vow that he would never trust God again. And he made a vow that he would never set foot in a church again. That was 20 years previously to the day. And the last thing, and I will just tell you that he, well, no, the last thing that his mother said to him on the phone, the very last thing was, "I love you, son. Don't get so busy that you can't jump in the puddles." He loves, God loves his heart. He loves you so much that he would make a crazy woman jump in the puddles. He loves you so much that even 20 years in your pain and brokenness, he will not forget you. You are labeled as his. You are called his children, his friend. He will never leave you. We will never forget you. When I hear that the prayer requests over here today, you know, it's been a hard year. Over here, it's been a hard year. You have never been out of his sight. You have never been out of his love, ever. Not once. Because the price tag that you have in heaven that's on you is of so much value. Now, I will tell you that that policeman ended up, within that year, he ended up becoming the elder of the church, the right-hand man, and he grabbed a hold of the fact that he is so loved by our Father. And he was able to move forward in life in wholeness and health, and not to carry the burden of being, and that shame of being so rushed with his mother that he didn't take time to even say, "I love you." 20 years melted in a second of the presence of the Lord. He knows your heart. He loves you unconditionally. Maybe you had a harsh upbringing. Maybe you have been wounded, hurt, broken, kicked out, full of gravel, left on the wayside in your mind and in your heart. But he loves you so much. He's calling you back. He's drawing you back. He's wanting you back, back into the heartbeat of what he has for you. So many times, as I had said at the very beginning, we long to hear. We long to see. And we throw up our arms in agony and say, why, oh, why can we not hear more? Why, oh, why do we not see more? Because there is that longing in his heart to just wrap his arms around you and remind you how loved you are. He knows your heart. He knows your heart. So I asked the Lord if he would show me a picture for the church, for you, for this place right here today. And this is what he showed me. First of all, okay, I got to put that on hold. Okay, I got to tell you a really cool thing. I just want to tell you this cool thing. This is something that's been happening for me. And this is really new, so I'm like so excited. Because I just want everyone to hear this so that there can be, you know, something birthed in people's hearts to walk in that friendship with the Lord. So probably 8 months ago, I started when I would go to bed at night or wake up in the night, and I just started to ask the Lord, you know, I want to be your friend. I want to walk in that friendship. I think of my friends, you know, we talk back and forth. We're bantering back and forth. Today we were talking about kombucha and breakfast, and that's what friends do, right? You just talk back and forth about things. And so I wanted to have that kind of relationship. I feel like I have a daughter's relationship with God. I feel like I have a warrior's relationship with God. I understand certain elements of relationship. But that real friendship, just hang out kind of friendship, other than jumping in puddles now and then, I really wanted to do that. And so it sounds easy, but this was not easy for me. This took me some time and some work on my behalf. But I started at nighttime, laying in bed just before I go to sleep, or if I'd wake up, and I'd just say, you know, I just want to hang out. I just want to hang out. So one night, you know, and my mind would start going to, okay, well, I should pray about this, and I should ask about that, and I should war about this, and I should. And it's like, no, I just want to have a moment with my friend. So I got thinking, okay, let's just start at the beginning. It's a very good place to start. And so I was asking the Lord, and I said, you know, like, so how was your day? And, okay, well, what's your favorite color? I know it's just, it can sound crazy, but I just want that friendship with the Lord. And you know what? Part of that is knowing someone's favorite color. I'm a grandma, and my kids love when they walk by and see my favorite color. They go, look at Grandma, it's aquamarine. You know, a little two-year-old, aquamarine. I say, what is that? And she says, a fish. She's like, no. But anyway, so I was asking the Lord, like, what is your favorite color? And that night, I had the most amazing experience with my friend. And he began to speak to me and to show me. And this is what he told me. Would you like to know what his favorite color is? I can say it confidently because he told me. Yeah, this is what he said to me. This is, and it was throughout the night, and I had dreams and talking. And I mean, it's so brilliant to hang out with your best friend. It was amazing. And he said to me that we see colors in one dimension here. This one dimension. But to him, colors are living, alive. Colors are so, we don't even see and know the colors that there is in heaven, because he is the ultimate creator. He can create all the colors, all the fragrances. He creates the stars. He places them in the sky. He gives them a song. He creates every single grain of sand on the seashore. So to think that he only created like 5 or 6 colors, no way. There's so much. And he told me that colors to him are alive. They're his creation. He created them. Much like, I'm a real pet lover. We have a menagerie at home, and I love my pets very much. And he said to me, his colors are much like pets. The way I love my pets, he loves his colors. They bring him joy and life. Is that hard for you to wrap your mind around that? It's awesome, though, isn't it? I never, ever once, I'm 58 years old, I never once thought of asking God what his favorite color is. Why? Why do we let ourselves get so stuck in just one pattern? God there, us here. He knows your heart. He loves you. He longs to walk arm in arm with you. I asked him other questions too, and it was so cool. And sometimes I didn't get answers, but it was just fun waiting for the answer. So this is the, oh yeah, this is where we were going, the picture that I had for here. So this was so great. This was so exciting. So what I saw for you who is in this room today, there was a path on a country road, and it was autumn. The country road was a dirt path, you know, the two paths for the tires to go down a dirt road, and the trees, lots of trees on the side, and it crumpled down onto the ground, all of the color of the autumn leaves, lots of tranquility, lots of beauty. I'm sure, especially living here in Maple Creek, you can picture that, this dirt road, and people were walking down and across the dirt road and just walking. And as they walked, there was the journey of their life. And on the side of the road and in between the two tire tracks were all of the leaves, just a collage of leaves. And the yellows and the browns and the greens and the oranges, you know how that autumn color, they just blend together and make that beautiful pattern. And they would walk on the journey of life with those leaves there. And then every now and then, under the leaves, you would begin to see the leaves moving. And there would be, it was as though there was something under those leaves that were moving. And off they go again. And then there would be some more. And I asked the Lord about that because it was quite tranquil and it was quite peaceful. And I asked the Lord, what is that? What is that that is along the side of the road? And this is what he said to me. He said that along when I see those leaves hidden under the leaves, camouflaged in the leaves, so you can't see it, was a darkness that was crawling along that would try to attach itself to many people here. And the darkness was called shame. And it camouflaged itself in many ways, many colors and many designs. So I asked him what those designs were. And this is what he said to me. First, I want to tell you the definition of shame. Shame means to cover. Shame means to expose. So Eve covered herself, right, when her sin was exposed. Shame means to lower your head and for your eyes to look down and not up. Shame is self-hate. Shame covers the wrong so we don't have to deal with it. And there is a lie from the pit of hell that has tried to get God's people to not believe that he knows your heart and loves you. It's camouflaged, and it's camouflaged in ways of lying, shyness, addictions, marriage breakup, education, people feeling like as long as I have my education, then I'll be accepted. People feeling like I have to lie to get out of this situation, and it's become a habit to them. People who say, I'm just shy, I'm just a shy person, when really they're so bound by a camouflage of shame that their true identity can't rise up. People who have called themselves people pleasers and they just want everyone to be happy and peace, even that can be bound to deep roots of shame. People who just can't break out into the freedom of being the man and woman of God that you want to be because there's a camouflaging. And so today the Lord wants to expose roots to us that are bound by bits of shame. Now, when we hear shame, Right away, because we haven't used the English language according to the dictionary, right away we think of shame as you know, we feel bad about a sin that we've committed. But this may not be anything you've done. What about as a child? When someone came and shamed you, when someone came and spoke against you, when someone came and ripped the value of who you are away. What about that school teacher that spoke to you and embarrassed you in front of everyone? What about that doctor that gave you no hope when you went for help? What about someone who said, hey, you're just crazy, forget it? What about that friend that turned their back on you and walked in betrayal of your trust? These are all hidden and camouflaged hurts and holes in our heart that ultimately come down to shame. That we, it's a means to cover our pain. And we think of shame as such a hard word. It only should be if we've done something that we're very guilty of and that we should rise up out of. But I'm telling you here today that the Lord is exposing and giving us opportunities to be able to stand in the truth and the fact that He knows your heart and He loves you and He longs for you to be able to just come to Him with no shame, no cover up, no excuse of, well, I can't do that because that's not who I am. That's not really the way I'm made. We are all made to come full-heartedly to the Lord. It doesn't matter how you worship. It doesn't matter how you are a friend with a person. It doesn't matter if you have a great sense of humor and can tell jokes or if you'd rather sit quietly. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about coming to the throne room of God without the shackles of shame, without the shackles of cover-up. And year after year after year, there's been a lie over your life saying, I am not worth it. I don't have the value. I don't look the part. I don't act the part. I don't have the education. I wasn't brought up in the right home. I. Those are lies from the pit of hell. And today, they are exposed. And we say, shame be broken in the mighty name of Jesus. Let the cover up, the lie of the enemy, the camouflaging of the enemy be broken off, that you can rise up to be that person in the throne room of God that you are destined and called to be. I'm not talking about your personality. I'm talking about your walk with the Trinity. I'm talking about your one-on-one love affair with Jesus Christ, the risen Lord and Savior, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that we can go to the very throne room of God and we can say, I am no longer a slave to this shame. I am no longer a slave to the fear that is attached, that I'll be found out, that I'll be caught, that I am not worth it, and I'll be rejected again. We bind that lie in the mighty name of Jesus. And we say, shame, be exposed today for what you are, a lie. And today, no more covering up. You want to see more? You want to hear more from God? Then go to the throne room and walk in that faith. It is not His design that we spend all the years of our lives just believing, just hoping. Just reading the books about these people in Cambodia where they see miracles. You know, it's really only in North America where if you say to somebody, I see things from the Lord, that they go, oh, that's strange. That I hear things from the God. Oh, that's strange. No, that is what is in God's design to speak to us, to walk with us, to show us, to rip the veil and to see on the other side into the supernatural. That is His design. And that is what He longs for. Let's have the courage to go after that because shame has been discovered now. No more camouflaging. Now, don't get me wrong. If you're a shy person, or if some of the other things that I mentioned, I am not talking about personality. I am not shaming you or speaking against personality. I am saying if it is an excuse to not go into the kingdom of God and let him speak his value to you, then it is a disguised portion of shame. Let's call it what it is, a tool of the devil. No more shame. No longer being a slave to that shame and the fear that's attached to it. You want to hear, you want to see, you want to walk with, you want to be best friends with, you want to see living colors? Go for it. Don't hide anymore. Don't hide behind the lie of shame anymore. Let it be broken off. Be the one that goes into your workplace and said, hey, I talked to God last night. He told me his favorite color. You know what? I went to bed another night. That's just his good time for me. Maybe that's not a good time for you. But I went to bed and I said to the Lord, okay, what should we talk about tonight? Like, honestly, I'm trying really hard to have this friendship with God. And now that I've pushed through, it is amazing. And it is worth fighting for. Because it's for you. Because he knows your heart and he loves you. And he longs to walk and talk and be with you. And so I asked him, what should we talk about tonight? And the word that came to my heart was pain. I was like, no, I was thinking like, what makes you laugh? You know, like, I was kind of going down that path. And I said, but okay, let's talk about pain. And I said, Lord, why is there so much pain? Why is there so much pain? And he spoke to me and he said, and I said to him, do you feel our pain like we do? And I spoke to him about that, and he said that he feels and knows our pain intimately. And I said, well, you know, like, why is there so much pain? And he told me that from pain, not saying that he gives it, but from pain, we understand the deepest value of what took place on the cross. I want that. I want to walk daily in the understanding of the value of what took place on the cross. I want to understand that when Jesus died on the cross, he took all that shame, all those lies, he took them so that we could have the very thing that we long for, to hear, to see, to walk, to talk, and to know our Father in an intimate way. He knows your heart. He knows your heart. There are people here today, right now, that you are battle weary. You are just battle weary. Don, is that your name, the drummer? Ron? Thank you. You're a man who knows battle. You've fought a lot of battles, is that true? You have fought a lot of battles in your life. I can see there's a lot of battle scars on your hands. I want to tell you, he loves you. He thanks you for fighting those battles. He knows your heart. Your heart was always, always with the integrity of God. And those battles, they have changed things in heaven. Thank you. Thank you for putting your hands to those battles. Those scars were worth it. Thank you. Thank you for that. We bless you in Jesus' name. And I love having the kids here. It's so nice to have you here. There's a video that I want you to watch. Pass out the Kleenexes. But if there is any way that we can grab hold of, be tenacious for, do not let go of the truth today that he knows your heart and loves you, adores you, longs to walk with you, be embraced. Be the silly one to jump in the puddles. Be the one to say, hey, God, how was your day? Be the one to not hide anymore under the camouflage of shame, because he knows your heart. He knows your heart and he loves you. Watch this with me. I'm so glad the kids are here to watch this. Do we need to turn down lights so you can, because to see this a little bit better? Thank you. He knows your heart. You can't disguise it. Even when the heart pounds in the chest of someone else, He knows your heart. You can't cover it up to Him because He knows it and He loves you, who you are, how you are. He doesn't want you to walk in shame. And He will wait and He will wait. And He will run after you and He will track you down. And He will hang out and He will wait. And then He will come and embrace you just who you are. Why wait? Why wait? Let's uncover today. Let's not allow shame and the masks and the camouflage that it has on it to stop us from coming into that relationship where we can walk one-on-one, hand in hand, hear His voice, know His ways. It's for you. It's for you today. It's for everyone in this room because everyone has the same price tag of value on. There are no superstars. There is no one that's loved more. There's no one that is uber special other than all of us in God's eyes. And so today, I'm asking that where there are hurts in your heart that you didn't even totally understand were there, and it has stopped you from hearing and seeing and walking and desiring anymore. People, there are people in this room, you have given up the hope. You've thought that being saved and loving God just means you go to heaven. But there's so much more. Would you be willing to be one that would jump in the puddles today? Would you be willing that would be one that would allow the Lord to use you in such a way that for 20 years, there's someone that's waiting to hear a word from God from you? From you today. So I'd love for everyone to be prayed for today. Don't walk out of here until you've had a chance to have a fresh touch from God. Everybody here, a fresh touch and be reminded that He knows your heart and loves who you are. So I'm going to ask Pastor Hans to come up and we're going to prepare some time for prayer.
I just want to read this as it relates to this message in Hebrews chapter 4. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet we are was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Jesus made a way for us to come into the throne room of God boldly, without shame, without guilt. And He said to His disciples, "I no longer call you servants, I call you friends." And a friend has a dialogue. They open their hearts to one another. How many of us would like to ask God, "What is your favorite color? What's your favorite food, Lord?" And then expect an answer. How many likes to have that kind of a close walk with God? I want a close walk with God. Amen. And I have to admit, often my prayers is more like, "God, give me this, give me that." Not expecting that actually He wants to hang out with me. Isn't that amazing that God wants to hang out with us? So I'm going to ask the worship team to come. And we're going to... I'm going to close it in a few minutes, but for anyone who wants to come for prayer. And so here is the prayer. Some of you may say, "Hans, I have never experienced a close walk with God. I have never surrendered my heart to Jesus. I don't really know what that is like." So if you have never experienced that, you've never given your heart to Jesus, I want to invite you to come. Most of us in this place, at one time or another, gave our heart to Jesus. How many have said, "I gave my heart to Jesus"? It was you heard the message and you responded because God was knocking on the door of your heart. And if God is knocking on your door today, I want to invite you to come. But maybe you're also living, there is a shame. There is a shyness. There is a guilt. There's a things. And maybe not that you have done anything wrong, but there has been done wrong thing to you. And you're living in that cloud. You don't really are free. If that's you, I'm going to ask Caroline to pray for you. That cloud is lifted, the shame is gone, and you walk in the true identity that God has for you. Because in Him there is no condemnation. That's why He came. It was to remove it. It was to wash it away, to open the prison doors, and to give you an identity and a confidence in who you're created to be. Amen. So if you are in that place and you want God to set you free, we want to open the altar for you to be prayed for. Let's stand together and sing this last song.